Thank you, Claire. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. I absolutely love this time of year. This time last year, we began a huge program of Advent activities, and I realized to my shame very early on that I was one of the few on the staff and core team that didn't have an array of fabulous Christmas jumpers. So 1st of January, I was there clicking on the sales, kitting myself out with no end of sparkling numbers. The one that I did have, I didn't quite have the guts to wear. This is the Walker initiation jumper. Whenever, that's my maiden name, whenever anyone enters our family, their first family Christmas, they have to wear this. So my husband, brother-in-law, and all of our children have worn this on our first family Christmas. I get really geeky about Christmas, I love it. This isn't a time of year that everyone loves. It's a very controversial time of year for some. This afternoon, I freely confess, we've put up our Christmas tree. My children are very excited. I know, particularly within Anglican circles, this is a very controversial move. When I go back tonight, my OCD side will be redecorating all the ornaments that my children have clustered onto one whole branch. Not everyone enjoys it. My husband, as a South African, feels a deep darkness descending on him as the nights draw in. Every time we leave the house, it is a full 10-minute ritual of scarves and hats and gloves and boots, and Lorna's taken her coat off again and we put it back on, and it's just everything feels a little bit more difficult. And we are on the cusp of winter. Life begins to hunker down. We turn into ourselves. Creatures are inclined to want to hibernate, and I know that's my instinct as well. I kind of want to just pull the duvet over my head for 10 more minutes. Our inclination is to sleep more, to hide more, to hibernate more. And you find yourself saying all the time, oh, go on, it's Christmas. That extra chocolate, oh, go on, it's Christmas. That extra glass of wine, oh, go on, it's Christmas. It's that season that we're coming into. And Ecclesiastes tells us there is a season for all things. There is a time to hunker down and regroup and to reflect. And on 12:30 on Christmas Day, that will be me. But not until then. Because Advent for Christians is a very different time of year. This is not a time for sleep. The hour has already come for us to wake up from our slumber, because salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Paul, who wrote those words, was absolutely haunted by the notion of time. And you can read that throughout his many letters. There was a real urgency to spread the Christian message. He believed fervently that Jesus was coming back in his lifetime. And he wanted as many people as possible to come to faith in Christ. He hasn't come again. And part of me wonders if this is because God so loved the world that he's not quite happy with how many people are in living relationship with him yet. God so loved the world that that urgency, that message of grace is still with us. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote this: "The morning drum call on my eager ear thrills unforgotten. Yet the morning dew lies yet undried on the fields of noon. But now I pause a while in what I do and count the bell and tremble, yet I hear the sunset gun too soon." We long for Jesus to come back. But while we wait, this season of waiting, there is an urgency to the good news we have to spread. There is an urgency to be in a state of readiness within ourselves, ready to share the good news of Jesus with everyone we encounter. And though this is a time where darkness is descending, it feels like sometimes it's almost no point opening the curtains. I leave the house in darkness and come back in darkness. So there is light. There is light all around us, fairy lights switching on, houses decorated, street parties to celebrate, roaring fires, our electric lights on night and day. There is light in the darkness, and every drop of it speaks of the light that is coming into the world in Christ. The baby boy comes and changes all things for all time. The coming of Jesus altered how we measure time. He changed BC into AD. Everything was turned on its head with the coming of Christ. But in this season of Advent, as we think on waiting for the baby Jesus, we also think on waiting for the second coming. And we do so with a groaning and a longing in our hearts, with a dissatisfaction with the order of things currently. We are dissatisfied with the way the world is as things stand. We are dissatisfied that there are people who have to choose between eating and heating their homes when the weather turns cold. We are dissatisfied that there are children living in our area who go to school with insufficient winter clothing because it is too expensive. We're dissatisfied that food banks are becoming increasing in number and the need is greater. We are dissatisfied that there are people who have no idea how precious to God they are. We're dissatisfied that there are people who think they have to do something to earn His love. And as Christians, it's right that we stand up and say, we're not okay with that. I'm not okay with those things. There is a groaning and a longing to this season of Advent when we look on what is not right with the world and wait for the coming Christ. And winter is a time for battening down the hatches and regrouping. And I will be doing that and I look forward to it, but it's not yet. And it's not now. Advent for Christians is a season for reconnecting. We reconnect ourselves with God, we reconnect with one another, and we reconnect with our community. Those doors are going to be thrown open, and I can't wait. It is such an exciting time. Over the next 4 or 5 weeks, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who don't normally come to church will be pouring in through those doors. It's such an opportunity. Last year at our 4 o'clock Christingle service, which has moved to 3:30 this year, if anyone's planning on coming, we had 450 people in this building. This building holds 320. That's not good maths. Actually, it's fabulous maths. 450 people in a building that holds 320 seats. And yes, I live in fear of a small angel or a shepherd going up in a ball of smoke at the hands of a wayward Christingle. Of course I do, but I rejoice. Bring them in. Pack them in. Let's move up. Make room. Let's rejoice. This is a season for us to wake up with the urgency of the good news of Jesus for all those who do not know him. But it's also a season in which we are to be vigilant. There is a temptation to overindulge at Christmas. Of course there is. Oh, go on then, it's Christmas. I'll just have another one. And those of you who know me well know that I am a great lover of cheese and wine. A great lover. But there is a calling on us as Christians not to anesthetize ourselves with stuff. Not to anesthetize our pain with drinking, or busyness, or shopping, or anything. We are to come to Christ instead. We are to armor ourselves in His light. A very wise friend said to me once in my early days of Christianity, "I don't think the sin is getting drunk. For me, the sin is the stuff I do when I'm drunk. That I know I wouldn't do sober." That gave me pause for thought. Paul calls us to be sober and vigilant because of the gravity of the task that is ahead of us, because of the enormity of it, because it's so exciting. Why wouldn't we be? Why wouldn't we want to grab this opportunity? We want to reach as many people as we possibly can. Now, the Greeks of that day actually drank an awful lot more than we do now. They had wine with every single meal. Children would drink watered-down wine all day long. Their breakfast was called a chrisma, which was bread dipped in wine. It sounds marvellous. The water wasn't safe to drink at the time, is the excuse given. But even in those times, drunkenness was considered an abhorrent sin. Crossing that line into drunkenness was absolutely written out. It was not heard of. People did not get drunk. We know that Jesus loved a party. But in this particular season, we're called to vigilance. We're called to live a little bit differently. I have a really good friend who works in the city. He's a banker, and he considers it his ministry field. He's a very, very committed Christian, and he believes God has called him to that job, to witness living differently in an environment that can be considered quite dark. He works very, very, very hard, and he plays very hard, as is the culture of his environment. And he frequently goes for drinks with the boys after work, and they have a great time. He's got good friends there. Every now and again, they go to the place over the road, and the place over the road is a strip club. And every time, my dear friend says, "Have a great time, guys, not for me, I'm off home." No judgment, no criticism, just not for me, have a great time. He is being a light in a dark place, and that small act of resisting the societal norm he finds himself in has led to so many conversations over the water cooler the next day when someone's looking particularly tired after a long night. "Hey, why didn't you come with us?" Just a quiet opportunity to share his faith. "I'm wanting to live a bit differently." My friend is responding to the grace that he has met in Christ. This is not because he wants to live according to a set of rules, although rules are helpful. He is responding to the grace he has met in Jesus. He's pushing back on the hurt and the brokenness and the behaviors that lead to more hurt and more brokenness, and quietly sharing his faith by witnessing something different. Our reading in Romans tonight contains a list of things. None of these things are necessary for our salvation. That's not what Paul is talking about. But they are pleasing to God and a blessing to us if we are seeking to live, to wake up in this time of Advent and live vigilantly, aware of the weight of the message we carry. Salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Those words were written, we think, about 57 AD, which was roughly 24 years after Jesus died. And Paul absolutely believed he was seeing Christ again, but we know, of course, he didn't. And yet something in my soul stirs when I hear those words. Salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Christ is coming back. And those words I long for because they speak of a better time. They speak of a time where we won't see pain and suffering on the news every time we turn it on, where we won't need food banks, where we won't see children going to school without sufficient winter clothing. The coming of Christ is reflected in the beauty of this season, in the lights that we see. But we know there is so much pain behind them. We know that there are people who do not think that they are worthy of God's love. They may not know much about the Christian faith. They may not feel they've done enough stuff to warrant God's affections. The letter Paul writes to the Romans assures them that salvation is by faith alone. It is the yes to Jesus that is required, and everything else is just gravy. It's the forgiveness of God that rescues us. The forgiveness of God. Nothing to do with anything that we have done or failed to do. And there will be people out there that have never truly heard that message. They think Christian living is just about being really, really, really good and striving. They've never heard the message of grace. It's never cut through the materialism of their lives, and that's why we throw these doors open over this busy period. That message was controversial then, and it's controversial now. And we as a church are gearing up to take that message and to broadcast it loud and clear. You are loved exactly as you are. Paul argues that salvation is not a matter of obeying natural laws of morality. It's a gift from God. And this is a time of year when we think a lot about presents, isn't it? Frantically clicking online, ordering as many things in as possible, working out where to pick it up from, trawling the shops busily. But those of us that know Jesus know that nothing will ever come close to the gift that is that relationship. The gift of his gracious love, given freely. No ifs, no buts, just offered to us. So let us be a people who offer that gift of unconditional love freely to others, just as Jesus offered it to us. Let us pray. Father, thank you that there are seasons for rest, for regrouping. And there are seasons to wake up. And I pray that you would stir our souls this evening, that you would ready us to serve and love the many, many people who'll come through those doors over this season of Advent. Lord, would all that we do be rooted in you and an overflow of the grace that we have experienced from you. In Jesus' name, amen.